All right, let's take our Bibles once again and turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John, chapter 3, verse 3. Going through the book of 1 John. This is our next verse right here. The Apostle John had exclaimed to the people in verse 1, he said, "Behold, take a look, gaze upon what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." I'm talking about now sinners, who in themselves deserve nothing but wrath. But Almighty God gives them a new nature. A new man is created. A new spirit, a new heart. That nature, the scripture says, that sinneth not. What an amazing thing. Two natures in a believer. One that can't do anything but sin. And one that sinneth not. Predestinated. That's what Ephesians 1 says. Predestinated. The destination determined beforehand. That's what predestination means. Predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, doesn't understand. The world doesn't understand a believer. They just don't understand. Why? Because they don't know the Lord. That's what he said. The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Now, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ walking around in a body of flesh, tied to it, knowing themselves to be unworthy, in themselves rebels against God, but called to be the sons of God. One day, this body of flesh is going to be put off. And there's going to be one thing left. That which Almighty God has created from above. What did the Lord tell Nicodemus? Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. Flesh and blood not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now this body we're looking at right here, this is not going to be going to heaven, but I'm telling you, we're going to be changed. All God's people are. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. And the scripture declares in verse 2, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." As I said before, we don't have anything in this world to be able to compare to what we will be. It doth not yet appear. Somebody said, "Well, I tell you what we're going to be like." No. I can tell you what the scripture says. We're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to be in a glorified body. But let me tell you what we know about that. Just exactly what we just read. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like him. And by faith, we know that he will appear. The scriptures has given us promise on that. We know. Look, hold your place right there. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's just read together again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What's going to happen What's going to happen on that day? And it's going to be a day just like today. It's going to be a day just like today. A day when we're all going around doing what we do. And, you know, it might be a day during the week. It might be a Sunday. It might, I don't know. But here's what's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 47. First man is of the earth, earthy. Second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also which are earthy. I mean, we just, what we're looking at right here, this is earthy right here. This is stuff that we can look at. We can understand this. That, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Oh, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we've borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, what is that, Paul? Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. Now here's a mystery that we're not going to understand right now completely. We believe it by faith, and we do. We do believe it. I'm going to show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. What do you mean? That means that there's going to be some believers on this earth when the Lord comes back that are still alive, physically alive. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What's that going to be like? Back in 1 John 2, verse 3, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know. But I can tell you this. When he shall appear, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now that great, amazing comfort, what we've just read, to a regenerated sinner who knows what he is, by nature, he knows it by nature. He's a sinner. And he counts himself that way. That's what Paul said. I know in me, I know in my flesh there dwells no good thing. I know that. But he knows that all of his former assurances of faith, he knows those are dung. But here's what God has revealed concerning a regenerated sinner. One that sees no good thing in himself, and he humbles himself before God. He loves God's mercy. He's honest about it. He does justly what we just looked at before. He knows. He knows what's going on. Here's what verse 3 says. 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, if I say this almost every time we look at a verse of Scripture, I need the Lord to teach me what that means. Don't leave me hanging. I mean, I just read what it said. Every man, do I have a hope that I know the Lord, that I know? I believe I do. I truly believe the Lord done something for me. I truly believe I'm looking to Christ as my only hope. I'm not looking to myself. I'm not looking to some decision that I made. I'm not looking to walk. Well, I walked down the aisle. So what? So what? Anybody can walk down. Have I come in my heart? Not if I walk 30 feet. Have I come to Christ heartily? Have I? If I have, John says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now let's just stop for just a minute and just contemplate the magnitude of what we just read. Now that's, brethren, that's a mysterious saying. Every man, not just a few of them, not just the more spiritual ones. Every man that hath this hope in him. Every man that hath, every believer that has that living hope, that certain expectation. When I see him, I'm going to see him as he is. That's a hope. That's a good hope. When he appears, he'll be appearing to receive me unto himself. When he separates the sheep from the goats, I believe that he's going to put me on his right hand in the midst of the sheep. Lord, that's where I desire to be. I don't want to be with the goats. Those are sacrificing a sacrifice of fools. I want to know. But Lord, I don't want to be putting my confidence in some false hope. I want to know. I want a good hope. I want to be assured that my life before him is not based on something that's going to be fleeting. Every believer believes that he's truly a child of God by God's choice. That's what the Lord Jesus told his disciples. He said, you didn't choose me. That's what everybody's saying today. Well, choose the Lord. The Lord said to his disciples, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. So I'm going to take God's side on this. Somebody said, did you choose the Lord? I said, well, I came to him, cast myself upon him after he revealed to me that he chose me first. You love the Lord? Yeah, but the only reason I do is because he loved me first. I can tell you that. I didn't start the love. He did. Every believer believes that he's the Lord's in electing grace. That's what 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, 14. God Almighty has chosen a people unto salvation. You've seen that before. Look at that. 2 Thessalonians. Turn there. Look at it one more time. Let's just look at the scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13, 14. We are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now let's read this now. Let's make sure we get this right. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto, because he did what he did, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So who chose who? Let's just go ahead and be honest. Who chose who? Well, the Lord said he chose his people unto salvation. That's what God said. Does a man, woman believe that Almighty God has chosen me to show mercy to me? He's got a good hope. Do I believe that the Spirit of God, when the Lord Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Does that mean maybe? When he said shall, John 6:37. Do I have a good hope? Do I believe that the Spirit of God is truly, effectually called me out of, drew me? No man can come except the Father which has sent me. Drawing, fetching grace, keeping grace. Every regenerate possesses a living hope that there's coming a day when he's going to be changed. In a moment, so quick you can't even measure, changed and perfectly conformed into the very image of the one in whom he's got all confidence. And he believes that he's going to see him and be like him. Now what does that mean again? I don't know. But I believe it's going to happen. Now, every man that's got that hope purifieth himself. Now, obviously, this purifying, this purity, must be a purifying that doesn't originate with me, because I'm going to go back to what the Lord saw, that there was none that did good, there was not one. So when he says he purifieth himself, what does that mean? I don't have the ability to purify myself. Can a clean thing be brought out of an unclean? Who can make a clean thing out of an unclean? With man, nobody. Nobody. No man can purify himself, make himself pure, much less as Christ is pure. Read that again, 1 John 3:3. Every man that hath this hope in here purifieth himself. Can I just paraphrase this and tell you what those last few words means? As pure as Christ. That's what it means, Carl. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I just didn't realize the standard was that high. Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself. How? How can that be? How can a man purify himself even as he is pure? And God's commanded it. God set it forth. So what is the Holy Spirit saying? The heart of what John is saying, being spoken of by the Holy Spirit, is that to be quickened to spiritual life above is to have a hope. And having this hope, having this expectation, confidence in Him, now you listen to exactly what I'm about to say. To purify ourselves is to, by faith, believe that Almighty God has done to us and in us what He says He's done. Hold your place. Turn to Ephesians again. I've quoted this a couple of times. Go back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now listen to this, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now how am I going to be found to be holy and without blame, pure, purified? Only as I am found in Christ. And God gives me a heart to believe it. Did I purify myself? I didn't purify myself of myself. But by faith, Almighty God has given me a heart to believe what He's done for me, and it's accounted unto me. By faith. There was a woman that had an issue of blood. And this woman had this deduction in her heart. I'll read this, Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 25 to 30. The scripture says, I'll go ahead and read this one. This is when Paul and Silas they were in jail. Paul and Silas at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loose. The keeper of the prison awakened out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called with a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the scripture says that a man of himself can do nothing. That's what the Lord said. What did the Lord tell Paul to tell this man when he said, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Where did he get that faith to believe? God gave it to him. It was given unto him. When the woman that had the issue of blood, that is found in Matthew chapter 9. Now listen to this. I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9:20. "Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, and came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch the garment, I shall be whole.' Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that hour." Now let me ask you something. Who made her whole? The Lord. The Lord made her whole. What did he say to her? "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The object of your faith. If it would have been something that she could have accomplished, she would have had something to brag about. "I had strong faith. I had faith enough to heal myself. And the Lord said, 'Without me, you can do nothing.'" Now listen, Scripture declares, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself," just like the woman with the issue of blood. Who did the healing? The Lord did the healing. He's the great physician, not me. I don't have faith to do anything. I have faith in him. I have faith in him. What is it to purify yourself? It is to look by faith unto him. It's to look by faith unto Christ. A believer is said to be constantly purifying himself, or reckoning himself pure in Christ and being accepted in the Beloved. He is our purity. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. A believer rests totally in being justified before God. Wherein is the purity of a believer? Being covered with the blood of Christ and his debt put away and robed in the righteousness of Christ. Where did that purity come from? It's his. Purified, found pure, perfect in Christ. And being found in that blessed state of being pure in him, a believer desires to be rid of this old body of flesh. A believer knows. He knows what he is. Listen to 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us be assured that our initial cleansing, and that continual daily cleansing that we need, is only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Purify yourself. Everyone that purifieth himself, I'm going to tell you right here, casts himself upon the mercy of God, crying unto him, "Lord, cleanse me. Lord, purify me in your precious blood. Lord, wash me clean. Lord, forgive me today." Doing the same thing that that woman with the issue of blood did. And he says, "Thy faith," the object of your faith. Let's always be careful. Thy faith. Faith that beholds him. Faith that looks to him. Thy faith, the object of your faith, has made you whole. Brethren, we don't purify ourselves. We have been made pure in Christ, but by faith, we believe that God has, by grace and power, purified us in the Lord Jesus. Who are these that have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb? You think there's ever going to be anybody that actually washed themselves white? Who are these that have had? By faith, we believe God. And our faith, the one in whom we have faith, has robed us in His purity. And all of the purity that we've got is His. And it's counted unto us. May the Lord bless this word to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.